This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. We have an amazing hour for you. We'll continue our talk about General Giap, and I'm gonna kind of compare it to our modern day America and how we can take on a communist insurgency here. We'll talk about the French dude who did something bad with an artillery piece, moving to a red state versus a purple state, all that, so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now back to our question, General Giap in the Vietnam War. He has a significant role in defeating the French in Dien Bien Phu, and then goes on to be an amazing commander, for lack of a better way to put it, against the Americans during our Vietnam War. And they ended up winning because our politicians are useless. But that's another story. Why? What did he do? Let's pull out a quote. It's a Marine quote, and it's such an insanely accurate quote. Amateurs study tactics. Professionals study what? Logistics. What's that mean, logistics? You ever see that old show Popeye the Sailor Man? Maybe I just was only allowed to watch older cartoons, but I was always watching Popeye when I was a kid. Maybe you don't know who that is, so let me explain. He's this sailor guy. He's in love with a girl named Olive Oil, and there's always some dastardly villain doing something terrible. Now, Popeye, he's nothing special at all. If anything, sometimes he kind of seems bumbling and weak. Until he eats spinach. If you allow, this was just the cartoon. If you allow Popeye to eat spinach, Popeye becomes the Incredible Hulk. He becomes this indestructible superhuman beast as soon as he eats spinach, and he'll punch out every bad guy and save Olive Oil, and it's the Popeye the Sailor Man. That was the concept behind it. Now, if you're a bad guy, what's the best way to defeat Popeye? The smartest, simplest way. Well, make sure he can't get spinach. Destroy all the spinach. Go buy up all the spinach in town. Just keep him from getting spinach. That's logistics. What General Giap in Vietnam did, well, he made sure there were supplies. You've heard of the Ho Chi Minh Trail, for example. What was the Ho Chi Minh Trail? It was not a trail, by the way. Please don't think there was one path. It was an unbelievable spider web of paths, roads too, that went from North Vietnam to South Vietnam, only it didn't go through Vietnam. It went through Laos and Cambodia, the two countries to the west of Vietnam. It allowed them to bring in large quantities of food and munitions and everything you need to prosecute a war. All those Viet Cong guerrillas in South Vietnam would have been able to accomplish nothing, zip, zero, without the logistical support of North Vietnam, and that logistical support only happens because of the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Do you want to know how to destroy the communist insurgency in the United States of America today? Yes, it's important that we arrest and imprison street animals. Yes, all these things matter a lot. But the communist insurgency in the United States of America today disappears if you stop the money. You have to stop the money. Everything you see, even all this stupid crap.
We're gonna de-ice our neighborhood. Invite our neighbors in.
It's all professional. It's all paid. Organized. Professional training. Domestically paid. Paid by foreign communists. Sometimes, obviously, communist China. If you were to cut off that, then the communist insurgency in the country dies on the vine. It doesn't have what it needs to sustain itself. It disappears overnight. General Giap in Vietnam, what made him so great? Great at what he did? He understood that you just got to get him the bombs and the bullets and the food and the medical supplies. Do you know when the Ho Chi Minh Trail... Obviously, they're communists, so they treated their people like dogs. But they had various stations set up where you would stop and you would eat and you'd receive medical care. Maybe someone else would take it over after. Remember that story I told you one time? I was talking to you about MACV SOG, those super stud Green Berets and Navy SEALs and those guys who were always behind enemy lines, always dying in Vietnam, about how they discovered... They discovered a completely hidden road. Hidden how? During the day, well, right before daylight, because they knew about American air power. This is all Ho Chi Minh Trail stuff. They would pull the tops of the trees together. They had them tied together, and they would pull them together over the road. So if you were over it, you couldn't see it. They would even bring leaves and spread it on the road so it would disappear. And then as soon as the sun goes down, you go out, you sweep the leaves off, you untie it, the road opens up. I know, it's amazing, Chris. And down you go. Who's the main architect behind all that? General Giap. The lesson behind that is logistics are everything, and that's an incredibly important lesson for us to learn. In fact, it applies, honestly, to you and me with something we talk about a lot, something I think about. Our money. The communists thrive on our money. They feel entitled to our money. You know the Washington Post laid off a third of its employees? Listen to Brian Stelter.
We heard on Wednesday from the Post Union saying maybe Bezos is not the best owner for the Post anymore at all. The Post Guild said in a statement, quote, if Bezos is no longer willing to invest in the mission that has defined this paper for generations and serve the millions who depend on Post journalism, then the Post deserves a steward that will.
Give us your money, Jeff Bezos, now! The communists need your money. Do you give it to him? You do, and so do I. In some ways, with our money, where we spend it, the goods and services, we fund the communist insurgency, and the communist insurgency dies without that logistical support. I'll tell you this. Do you want to know a practical way? Here's what it is. The Super Bowl is on Sunday. I know you're going to watch, no shame in it. And full disclosure, I'm going to a big party in my neighborhood. Obviously, it's a big Super Bowl party. Not going to play at my house. It's the Seahawks and Patriots, Chris. What am I asking you for? Corey, it's the Seahawks and Patriots? Okay, it's the Seahawks and Patriots. As you can tell how invested I am in the game. But it's a big neighborhood party. Reason to get together. That's fine. I'm not going to tell you not to. Are you going to turn the game off at halftime? Do you know that these people track minute by minute what you watch? Are you going to watch that anti-American savage Bad Bunny trash your country in Spanish in a dress at halftime? Turning Point USA, they have an alternate halftime show. You can watch it on all kinds of different channels, YouTube, TBN, OAN, all kinds of different places are playing it. if you, whatever house you're in, maybe it's yours, maybe it's a neighbor's house, if you turned off the halftime show and turned on that one instead, Kid Rock will be playing. It's going to be a great show. I know it sounds small. That's the kind of thing that sends a message to organizations like the NFL. Stop spitting in my face. And let me ask you this. Not trying to guilt trip you. If you can't even do that, well, we're not going to make it. Not even saying turn off the game. We can't turn off the halftime show? If we can't even turn off a halftime show where you don't even habla.
Buenas tardes.
What are we doing here? All right? All right. Now, speaking of money, we'll talk briefly about inflation, red state, moving to a red state versus purple states. Someone wants to know why I haven't discussed that guy who used a World War I artillery shell, all that, buying guns. Someone wants to know more about the Battle of Iwo Jima. Apparently we're going to do more history stuff. All that and more coming up in the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show now. Here's what's coming up for you. You're going to pick up your phone. You are going to call 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF. And you're going to order a 3-week quick start of Relief Factor. It's going to get to you. You'll start taking it. It's a supplement that you take every day. Keep in mind, the longer you take it, the better it works. What's going to happen over the next 3 weeks, once you get it, is the pain that nags you every day, that shoulder that wakes you up at night, the neck that hurts in the morning, your foot that hurts when you walk around, that pain is going to start getting turned down and down and down every single day. In 3 weeks, you're going to call them back and order more because almost everyone does. 100% drug-free. Put down the pill bottle. Call 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF, or go to relieffactor.com. All right? We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Friday. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Speaking of their feeling of entitlement to your money, and what a bunch of dirty thieves and tyrants communists are, I want you to listen to this. This is a supporter of Zohran Mamdani in New York City. Listen to the questions being asked. Listen to his answer for things. They're all the same.
The top 1% pays 40% of the taxes in the city. So what happens if they leave? What's your response?
Well, that's what I would say. It's like we should take their business and we run it like for our, like the city ourselves.
So if they take their business to Florida, you feel like you can make it, keep it here?
I mean, they can't leave the building. They can't like just bring their whole entire workforce to Florida, right? They can't bring all of like the resources that they have to like build the business here to Florida, right? That's a whole thing. And that's where you would even say like if we're building a real movement, right, to like stop that, we'd also like make it illegal for them to like actually like leave, right? We would find them to hell if they're gonna try to like abandon their property here, right? Because clearly people do need to work, right? People do need to like, you know, make a living. So
we'd just make it illegal for them to leave. It's our business now. It's illegal for you to leave the business. They're all the same. They're all dirty freaking thieves. They all feel entitled to other people's money. This is how every single communist thinks. This is how your liberal Aunt Peggy thinks. And when you scratch them enough, they end up revealing exactly who and what they are. Jesse, why would inflation be less than what it is now? With utilities up, wages up, materials up, tariffs up, insurance up, housing costs up, and benefits up, companies have to charge more to make a profit. The Fed dropping rates, short-term rates not going to affect long-term rates, so on and so forth. Trump's not a magician. What say you? Well, mankind is arrogant. We are. We're an arrogant species. And for as long as man has walked the planet, man has attempted to change reality, to change laws with various degrees of success. But change laws. Economics people, world leaders, they try to change this all the time, this law. When you have a dollar, it's just paper, right? It's special paper, but it's just paper. In order for it to be worth something, it has to be backed by something. There has to be something that gives that dollar value. Otherwise, its value is only in the piece of paper, right? Well, if you print large quantities of money, unbacked money, then the value of everyone's dollar goes down, all right? Now, that happens all the time. They manage that. That's why they always cite, hey, we only want your money to deflate 2% a year, 3% a year. What is that? That's them managing expectations and managing that. We'll try to make it so you only lose 2% of value every year. All right, I would argue that's not a great policy. Either way, that's not important for our time. Do you remember during COVID when it was first announced? They announced that they were going to do it before they did it. When they first announced that they were planning to, quote, shut down the country for 15 days because we got a virus. Now, I'm not going to rehash that policy. But if you were listening back then, and I realize, honestly, probably 75% of our listeners are new now because the show's grown so fast. But if you were listening back then, you remember this something. I don't know that you've heard very much out of me and my voice. Desperation. And that wasn't just anger. Do you remember how desperate I was to stop it? How often do I yell? I don't want to stress you out. I don't want to stress me out. I don't yell. I yelled into the microphone. Desperate to stop it. Because you can't stop a $20 trillion current or economy on purpose without horrible consequences. And they realized that. So when they stopped a $20 trillion economy, they then went and printed $7 trillion basically overnight. It wasn't overnight, but it was basically overnight in unbacked currency. That's why you're 25, 30% poorer than you were before COVID. Everyone wants to play politics with it. It could be this, it could be that. It was just this, it was just that. I was desperate because I knew we would never fix it again. Inflation, prices, they're never, ever going back to what they were. I was desperate because I knew if we took that step, if we made that mistake, there was no turning back. And I knew, you remember, that normal people would suffer forever because of those decisions. People will suffer because of those decisions after you're dead. Your kids will be paying still for those decisions. And that was the desperation I approached it. That was how I approached it. That was why I approached it that way. And I'm very sad to say it turned out to be 100% right. I wish I was 100% wrong. I wish it had never happened. I did everything I possibly could to stop it from happening, but it happened. And now we got to friggin' live with it. Let's move on. Let's do something good. I just depressed myself. I just made myself sad. Chris, I don't want to do that. You know what? Let's save a baby's life. We'll do that real quick. You've got $28. Maybe you got $28 a month. Shoot, maybe life's treating you well. Maybe you got $28,000. Preborn saves babies' lives by giving free ultrasounds to mothers. Mothers who are about to abort their babies. That baby's head is on the chopping block. We have the power to save it with an ultrasound. Show that mother her baby. Show that mother the heartbeat of her baby, and she will choose life almost every single time. Go to preborn.com/Jesse and save that baby today. Preborn.com/Jesse. She needs to hear the heartbeat. Save her and save her child. Remember, tax deductible. Doing your taxes now? You wish you had an extra deduction? sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's be done with that for a little while, shall we? Jesse, I always believed that you were a serious journalist, but you went all week without reporting on how some French dude checked himself in the ER because he had a World War I artillery round lodged. I'm not going to go ahead. I'm not going to finish the rest of that story. I am going to simply say this. Two things. First, children listen to the show. Children listen without their parents, and their parents allow them to do that because I do family-friendly radio. That's one. Two, I am a World War I fanatic, and the same thing applies to World War II, but World War I especially. I can't believe there are still so many unexploded rounds out there. Look, every now and then you'll read a news story. There'll be some poor farmer digging a ditch, and he'll just die. He'll hit the wrong round, and it'll just explode, and he's just going to die. It's awful in every possible way, and it's so fascinating that something that happened over 100 years ago that was so horrible, it was such a living hell, there's still death hanging around from it to this day. Don't you think that's morbid? Extremely morbid? Kind of cool, if we're being honest, but extremely morbid. It is, Chris. Jesse, I recently come into some money. I'm considering purchasing a few firearms. I was hoping to get your thoughts on what you'd recommend as a good starting point. All right. Well, I don't know your gun level expertise, but it doesn't sound like it's very much. You know the best thing my dad did for me? When I was learning how to shoot, I was 6 years old. Yeah, we started early in my house. I was 6 years old. You know the first gun I had? I had a single shot 410 shotgun. If you don't know anything about shotguns, that's obviously, it'll kill you. Be very careful. All guns will kill you. But that is a very, very small, weak shotgun round. You're not going to go duck hunting with a 410 shotgun. When I was allowed, again, we played fast and loose in my house. My dad taught me, you know, hunter safety. He was very strict about that. But I would just take my 410 shotgun and some shells. I used to go out to the woods, start shooting stuff. When I was allowed, I would take eggs out back. I'd go shoot eggs with it. It taught me how to handle a weapon. Start super small when it comes to guns. Today, here's what happens in social media. There are all these super studs out there. There's a BK and a Clay Martin out there. There's always some Green Beret, Navy SEAL, Air Force PJ type. And he's out there doing this elite training with weapons that you see in the movies. And you think, I want to be that guy. Slow down. I bet you money if I talk to Clay about it, I'll bring Clay on and ask him. I bet you if I talk to Clay about it, I bet you Clay had a little 22 when he was a kid. Little 410 shotgun. If you came into some money and you want to start buying guns, don't. Start super small. Practice light and small. Figure out what you like. Eventually, if I wanted five guns, you asked for five recommendations, I would have some sort of a concealed carry weapon. I carry a Hellcat Pro, a Springfield Hellcat Pro. I'm not saying that's the best thing in the world. I love it. SIG makes a great gun. Glock makes a great gun. There's all kinds of great guns out there. That's just what I carry. I'd have a concealed carry weapon that I carry on me. That way I can kill anyone who's trying to harm me or my family. I would always have a shotgun. Why? Because I love them. I can't help it. I adore shotguns. I would have a rifle, a deer rifle type of some kind. Some kind of rifle like that. And I would always mix in some sort of they call them ARs. Everything's an AR now. I could go into that, but whatever that is, some sort of 5.56, maybe a 300 blackout, maybe a 7.62, something. How do I explain? Something that looks like an M16 you see in the movies. Okay, I'll explain it that way. Something like that. That's really the basics of where I would start. And then, since that was four, get something fun. There's nothing wrong with having fun. Get something old and fun, if that's your thing. One of the funnest weapons I've ever shot in my life is an M1 Garand. Someone has an Iwo Jima question, which is funny because the M1 Garand was employed widely. M1 Garand, it weighs about 8,000 pounds. It is so much fun to shoot because the weight is so much. It shoots real, real smooth. It's a semi-automatic one, and you get that lovely ping after the eight round after you run out of ammo, and it is a clip in an M1 Garand, not a magazine. It's a clip. After that ping, that clip comes out. It's a great feeling. You feel like you're on Iwo Jima. It's amazing. Highly recommend an M1 Garand. What's that, Chris? Oh, Chris has an M1 carbine. That's a great gun too. Man, there's a lot of great guns. Or a Thompson submachine gun, a Tommy gun. You would know it as Thompson submachine gun. Stupid fun to shoot. It shoots a 45 caliber round, like a 1911. Gosh, I love that gun. All right, quit. Don't get me distracted. Jesse, I know you're an advocate for moving from a red state or moving to a red state to make them redder. What about the mass migrations to purple states to make them red? You can say that, but you're never going to get people. You're never going to get people to violate bettering themselves. Meaning, if you ask somebody to move, okay, moving sucks. I lived in 10 houses in 10 years at one point in time when I was a kid. I know all about moving. Packing up, U-Haul, the works. I know all about it. Moving sucks. Now, if you're asking someone to uproot their lives, their family, new schools, new jobs, new everything, you have to give them more than a political goal. The beauty of moving from a blue state to a red state, it's not just politics. And keep in mind, politics does matter. That red state, the more population, the more congressional seats, you get all that. It's not just that. Their life is better. That's the better sell. Moving from, for instance, Washington, D.C. I lived in Washington, D.C. for a year. And then I moved to Texas in the Dallas area. I'm not there anymore, but I moved to the Dallas area. We were in the blood red suburbs. We were taken aback by how much better life was. Your neighbors are better. Everything's better in a red place. And that's a better sell than political sells to people. When you, let's say you're a man and you want to move, or you're a woman, you want to move. You sit down with your spouse and you're telling them, hey, I think we should find work in Tennessee. Sorry, I'm going to get all this hate mail from Tennessee now. Everyone's going to yell at me. We're full. But hey, I think we should find work in Tennessee. I think we should sell our house, pack everything up, move across the country. That's a lot. that's asking a lot of somebody. You're going to have to tell me why. I'm going to need you to walk me through why I need to pack up everything and move across the country. If you tell me, well, so Republicans can have more congressional seats, that may not sound worth it. You tell me our dollar will go further, so it's going to be like we make more money. Our kid will be in a better school where they're not learning how to be gay, where people will be more polite. No, we're talking here. I can actually enjoy the company of my neighbors instead of wading through the Black Lives Matter flags. Yeah, that's a better story. All right. Let's do a little Trump, J.D. Vance, all that stuff. We're going to do a little Iwo Jima next.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, wonderful, wonderful Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You can email us jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, will the commies be able to transfer the cultural hate of Trump to J.D. Vance or whoever runs next? I touched on this last night a little bit, but not on this specific subject, but on brainwashing, if you will, cults, things like that. You can get to a place where you are so beaten down, not even necessarily physically, but that applies, where you are so beaten down physically and maybe mentally that you will say whatever someone wants you to say. How it works in the United States of America now, and there's all kinds of studies on this, there's hardly an inch of daylight between anyone on the left. People on the right have all kinds of disagreements, all kinds of them. You probably disagree with me all the time on things, and that's great. There are all kinds of different ways to look at this issue or that issue on the right. That is not tolerated on the left. Absolutely not tolerated. You will say this. You will not say that. You will. It is unbelievably strict. They strictly police their own, their language, and their actions. The result of this is, if you're on the left, if you are a Democrat, when you are around other Democrats, you do not at all feel free to disagree with them on any issue at all. Because you understand, they will pounce on you like a bunch of ravenous wolves if you do. And it goes to such extreme levels. This sounds crazy, but I've seen it. You're in a Democrat party, Democrat area. People will be at a party and someone, a Democrat, has every Democrat stance says, well, I mean, we probably should deport rapists who are here illegally. That person will get ripped to shreds by the others around them. Ripped to shreds. Oh, what do you support Trump now? It's crazy to watch it happen. The end result of that is you will say whatever is demanded of you, and you are completely programmable once you have been brainwashed to that level. Your head is going to spin at how quickly Democrats will transition from Trump Nazi, Trump Nazi, Trump Nazi, Trump Nazi to JD's even worse. JD Vance is even worse. JD Vance is a Nazi plus 10. He's worse than Hitler. He's Hitler and Himmler combined. And your liberal Aunt Peggy will overnight, she will start using that same line. She's been programmed. She has been whipped and beaten down so many times by her other communist friends at her communist parties that now you just tell her what to say. The thought of being cast out of that group is way too much for her to bear. She could never live in a world where she was tossed out of that group. She has to, absolutely has to say whatever they say. That's how she thinks. That's how communism works. They will transition off of Trump faster than you can imagine. Faster than you can imagine. For now, what they have to do, you hear guys like Gavin Newsom doing this, they still have to campaign against Trump. Well, Trump's going to run again. We have to stop Trump because the transition hasn't been made yet. But that's exactly right, Chris. They're just waiting for the next software update. Remember, we talk about how they're more robot than human. They're just waiting. It'll be in the blink of an eye. It'll be J.D. Vance. If it is J.D. Vance, and I assume it will. I don't know. If it is J.D. Vance, it'll be in the blink of an eye. Oh, yeah. The really smart ones, like Jen Psaki. I know you don't like her. I don't like her either. They're really smart. They already see this coming. They're already getting the software update ready.
I think the little Manchurian candidate, J.D. Vance, wants to be president more than anything else.
Yeah.
I always wonder what's going on in the mind of his wife. Like,
agreed.
Are you okay? Please blink four times.
Yes.
We'll come over here. We'll save you. And that he's willing to do anything to get there. And that your whole iteration you just outlined, I mean, he's scarier in certain ways.
He's smarter.
In some ways. And he's young.
Yeah. And ambitious.
Oh, God, she's homely.
They're going to switch faster than you can imagine. All we can do is sit back and sing songs.
They're going to de-ice our neighborhood, invite our neighbors in. We're going to heal this world with love. Tear down the fences.
Tear down the fences. Did you hear this lady in Canada? They had to rename a park in Toronto, Canada. I just love these people so much.
Hence the name, Eta Nona Wastina.
Eta Nona Wastina.
Hence the name, Eta Nona.
That's Spanish.
Hence the name, Eta Nona Wastina. It translates to where they lived good and beautiful lives. Learning to say the name is just a small way we can all be accountable to healing our relationship with our nation's first peoples. So let's go. Try it with me. Eta Nona Wastina. Eta Nona Wastina. Eta Nona Wastina.
Chris, why didn't I hear you saying it? Do you not feel like paying homage to first peoples? No, Chris, I want to. All right, we're going to do this again. Walk through this with me. All right, we'll do this together. Are you ready?
Hence the name, Eta Nona Wastina.
Eta Nona.
It translates to where they lived good and beautiful lives.
That's beautiful.
Learning to say the name is just a small way we can all be accountable.
Small way.
To healing our relationship with
healing.
Our nation's first peoples. So let's go. Try it with me. Eta Nona.
Nona.
Wastina.
Wastina. You have to put that extra thing on there.
Wastina.
That way they know. Eta Nona
Wastina.
Chris, I didn't even see you mouthing the words. We have to participate. This is about first peoples. We have an hour. Someone wants to know about grits in Iwo Jima. We will get to those things. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.